Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're continuing in our study on Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is praying for us. And I know that my heart has been challenged and blessed in my own personal study. And we're going to look at the intercessory work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, tonight as we consider several verses in John chapter 17, the fact that He is praying for us, praying for us. Let's begin reading at verse 6 of John chapter 17. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine. Now notice that. I pray for them. It's not I prayed for them. I pray for them. Continuous action word. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And I believe that's a reference to Judas Iscariot there. He was the son of perdition that fell away and refused to come to the truth and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, or the evil one, is a good translation of that phrase. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Now listen very carefully as I read these verses, beginning at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now think about that for just a moment. Who's he talking about there? The word of God being passed down from generation, the Lord Jesus said, I'm praying for them, those that'll come, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We're going to stop there in our reading tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the reading of His Word. Father, we thank You so much for this passage of Scripture. It is so rich in the prayer of Jesus Christ for His disciples, but also for us. And we thank You for that. And we pray, dear Father, as we seek to communicate this passage of Scripture tonight, that You would encourage us in Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to listen as I read Hebrews 7, verses 25 through 27. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once when He offered up Himself. Did you catch that phrase? Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our Lord is living today, and he's making intercession for us. I want to talk a little bit about that word intercession tonight as we consider what Jesus Christ is doing for us. He has an intercessory role and he has an advocacy role. And we're going to bring out those 2 points from this passage of Scripture tonight. What is the difference between prayer and intercession? What's the difference between prayer and intercession? Well, intercession is a form of prayer. It's the idea of standing in the gap. The root word in the Latin is seed, all right? C-E-D-E, seed. And it means to go, to yield, to surrender. Isn't that interesting? Intercede, to surrender. And then the prefix enter is between or reciprocal. It is shared by, it's felt. In other words, intercession is yielding. It is surrendering to God in prayer. You ever been to that place? I know Mrs. Pepper mentioned this to me, that she wanted to pray during that time of sickness, but she just wasn't able to pray, and she communicated that to me. And I said, well, isn't it wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit prays when we don't know what to pray for? In groanings that cannot be understood, he's able to pray for us during those times. That's encouraging to God's people. I know Aunt Carolyn said the same thing to me. She said, I want to read my Bible so much, but I can't see well enough to be able to read it. And I try to pray, and I'm just discouraged because my thoughts just aren't there. And again, I reminded her, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Jesus is praying for us. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. And even though we may not be able to codify them in words, the Holy Spirit's able to come in and fill the gap in our prayer. That is such an encouragement to me. And I want to tell you, in these days, we need encouragement. We need encouragement by the fact that God has supplied even the thoughts and the words that we cannot utter. His Spirit does so for us before God the Father. And so, intercession is yielding to God in prayer in the behalf of others. There are many examples of intercessory prayers in the Bible. I want to give you just 3 quick ones. First of all is Abraham, one of the most beautiful pictures of intercessory prayer. If you get confused about what type of prayer this is, Abraham goes to God, pleading to God concerning Lot, his wife, and his children in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, God, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And God said, yeah, I would. I would spare the city if there are 50. And then that was silence. 45. Oh, yeah, I would spare the city if it was 45. It went down to 40, went down to 30. Finally, it comes down to 10. I think perhaps that was the number of Lot's family. He said, Lord, if there were 10, would you spare the city? And the Lord said, yes, he would. What happened to the city? It's completely wiped out. We only find 2 escaping the city, and one of them doesn't even make it that far outside the walls because she disobeyed God. God had told her, don't you look back at the judgment that's fallen upon that city, and she became a pillar of salt because she refused to obey God in that regard. And so actually there were 2 children that escaped with them, so there were 3 total that made it. And then, of course, we read the horrible things that happened between the daughters and Lot. But here was Abraham pleading before God, yielding to God in prayer in behalf of another. He didn't try to snowball God and making think that Lot was a super righteous individual that needed to be spared, but rather he was pleading for the whole family. And they chose another course. I think about Moses at Mount Sinai. Received the 10 commandments from God. He came down from the mountain, and what does he find? He finds his own brother, Aaron, leading a pagan worship service. Now, you talk about something that's discouraging. Moses cast the stones down to the ground, and he had the golden calf ground to powder, and he made the people drink it. Now, I want to tell you something. I've drank a lot of things in my life, but I've never had grounded gold drink before. But I want to tell you something. Moses pleaded before God in behalf of the people. They had just committed a horrible thing, worshiping a pagan golden idol and calling that golden idol Yahweh. That's what they named it. This is Yahweh. No, it wasn't. And yet Moses pleaded for them that he would spare the people. And we know the story there. Moses interceding before God with the people. And we could do many others, but the Lord Jesus Christ and his intercessory prayer here in John chapter 17 stands out as one of the great intercedings of Jesus for those that were alive at that time and for all those who would trust in him in the future. Interceding for them. Putting himself, yielding himself to prayer in behalf of others. Going in between them and hell to pray for them. That is intercessory prayer. I remember years ago, Roger and I were invited to Baptist Church to do some trumpet duets for Dr. Milton Kerr, who was there at that time doing evangelistic services. And they must have been dragging the bottom of the barrel. I don't know why we got the invite, but we ended up going over there. And for 2 days, we provided special music on our horns. And Dr. Kerr was sharing a story. He had pastored for many, many years and was in evangelistic work. And he shared this story about a lady in their church, and her name was Ruth. And she had been a prayer warrior in their church. And when she passed away, the family asked Dr. Kerr if he would go and speak in behalf of the family and the memorial service, and he went there. And after the main memorial service, they went out to the cemetery to do the graveside, and there was a granddaughter that was standing there, and she broke down crying and weeping uncontrollably. And this is what she said: "Who is going to pray for me now? Who's going to pray for me now? Who's going to take the place of Grandma and take over the burden that she had for me?" Milton Kerr spoke to her afterwards as she sobbed, and he said it was the most discouraging thing that he ever heard come out of a young lady's mouth. She recognized the power of her grandmother in prayer. But she didn't want to personally experience doing the prayer herself. She just wanted somebody praying for her. And he said, you know, it was such a selfish thing that she wanted. Here was this grandmother interceding before God for the granddaughter. The granddaughter knew it, but the granddaughter was not submitting to God. She was just carrying on with her life. And at the funeral, at the graveside, she's concerned about, well, who's going to pray for me now? Rather than get right with God. Now be careful about this matter. That we just like the idea of intercessory prayer when it's for us, as opposed to getting on your knees yourself and getting right with God and praying for others. The most selfless act you will ever enter into, Christian, is bowing before God and praying for other people besides yourself. The us for and no more mentality. Praying for others. Taking by, well, I'm not going to take so-and-so before the Lord. They said something, I don't like it, what they said, so I'm not going to pray for them. God help you. You probably have that many prayer warriors for you too. Zero. We start propping up all these kind of things that we don't like about somebody, and I don't care for them a whole lot, so I'm not going to pray for them. Listen, I want to tell you something. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and then pray for others. And you know what you'll find? You'll find yourself warming up to those other people because you're interceding before them. You're yielding yourself. You're surrendering yourself to prayer. That's what intercessory prayer is. And be careful how you pray. Sometimes we pray in such prideful way. We're kind of like the publican. Lord, I thank God that I am not like these sinners here. All right, the Pharisee that prayed for the guy that was by. Well, I thank God I'm not like these other people. Lord, help you. You're going about it all the way. You should humble yourself before God before you start criticizing somebody else in your prayer. Sometimes we think we're living up to this standard up here and everybody else is down here. And so I've got to pray for these poor people down here. You know, they're just not like me. That's not intercessory prayer. That's not yielding yourself to God in prayer. We need to humble ourselves before God. Now, I want us to look in this passage here in the remaining minutes that we have concerning what the Lord prayed for in regard to the disciples that were present that day, in regard to us, those that would believe in the future. Number one, I want you to see that His prayer was for our infirmities. Our infirmities. There are two aspects of that prayer. First of all is the intercessory prayer, Christ praying that we might not sin. That's interceding. But there's also the role of advocacy when He prays that we do not sin. All right? Praying that we might not sin and praying that we won't sin. You see the difference between the two? It's an advocacy role where we step in and we pray for others. Lord, we don't want them just not to sin, but we want them to have an attitude that wants to do what's right. You see, that's important in our prayer. We don't want people to sin, but we also want them to do what's right. We want to challenge them to do what is right. One of the most simple phrases that was hammered into us growing up was do right. Do right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. saying, I remember Mr. O'Pager had a plaque, I think it was over in the academy, that said, do right. If the stars fall out of their sockets and everything goes crazy, you do what's right. Don't try to find an excuse for doing what's wrong. Some people always live on the edge. They're always right there on the edge. Remember the old story that Dr. Hobbs used to say years ago about the man that was looking for a ride? He said, he's going to go up to the mountain there and I need someone to take me, old stagecoach days. And this guy said, hey, I'll take you. And he said, I will drive as fast as I can and I'll be that far from the edge. And I'll get you in time. Another guy spoke up and said, I can get you there. I go right down the middle of the road. Whenever I'm going through that mountainside, I'll get you where you need to go. And then another guy came up with a hayseed out of his mouth. And he said, I can get you there. I'm a little on the slow side, and I drive as close to the mountain as I can get. And the fellow said, here, my bags are right over here. Let's load up. What kind of a driver do you want to have? You want somebody right there on the edge. Always pushing the edge. Always wanting to get away with what I can get away with. God help you. One of these days you're going to go flying right off the cliff in your selfishness. Why don't you get as close as you can to the Lord Jesus Christ? He's praying for your infirmities. He's praying that you will not sin and that you will not seek to do what is sin, but rather do what is right. How wonderful it is to realize that our Savior, while technically absent from us bodily, has very much His focus upon us. He's praying for you tonight. As He prayed for us on earth, so now in heaven He prays that we might not sin. John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. That's what He's praying for, that we'll be kept from the evil one, that we'll not fall prey to Satan and to sin. Romans 8, 34, listen carefully. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? That's what he's doing right now. He's pleading your case before God as an intercessor and as an advocate. Praying that you won't sin, but also praying that you'll do what's right and that you'll honor Him. That's the picture that's given to us. The believer while on earth still sins and Satan still accuses, Revelation 12 and verse 10, yet Jesus Christ pleads our case because His blood shed on the cross of Calvary was to care for us. That's why He shed His blood, to care for us, that we might know deliverance from sin. He prays for our infirmities. Secondly, He prays for our security. The way Jesus Christ prays is not just for our infirmities in His intercessory and advocacy roles, but He also prays for our security. Christ prays that we might be eternally secure. In His high priestly prayer before His crucifixion, He indicated that He has kept us secure. He prays that the Father will keep us secure, and He prays that none of them is lost. None of them is lost. You ever been lost? I think I've told this story whenever I was a child. I can't remember if I was 7 or 8 years old. We were over in Kmart in Pensacola because that's the only store that was close enough by that we could buy Christmas gifts at. We had the little bit, 5 and 9 stores here in Milton, and then you went to Pensacola when you were getting serious to buy Christmas gifts. Went to Kmart. And I remember the old McDonald's that was across the street. And we got into the store, and I was merrily going along doing my thing, and I got separated from Mom. Mom and Roger and Missy were in some other part of the store, and I was just looking around. I didn't know where I was at. I was walking around, and all of a sudden, over the speaker something. You ever had your name called out over the speaker system? I have. Would Todd Brainerd please come to the front of the store? Your mother is waiting for you. Now, I knew I was dead. You know, it's like going to a funeral service, all right? But I made my way up front, and there was Mom, and she was doing like this. And from that point on, I had to have my hand on the shopping cart everywhere she went. I had to put my hand. All the other kids were walking around in the store looking at presents and looking at toys and stuff. There was Todd hanging onto the shopping cart because I had gotten separated. I was doing my own thing. I was lost. Do you know that Jesus has prayed for you that you would not be lost? That's such a beautiful thought. John 17, verses 1 through 12, condensing it down. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. I cannot imagine the heart of the Lord Jesus when he uttered those words. None of them is lost except the son of perdition. I've had to go to funerals of young people. I think it's one of the saddest things. And I especially remember a young lady that we had in our school who we had to expel because of her attitude. She was a problem. We tried to help her. Her parents had put her in Santa Rosa Christian School because they were thinking that we would reform her. That didn't work. And I remember getting the call from the dad and said, I need you to come with me. Would you come with me? And I said, what's the problem? She had already left our school. And I said, what's the problem? He said, so-and-so is missing. We don't know where she is. I said, well, where do you want me to come? He said, can you come down to the police department? So I left school and I went down to the police department. I didn't know what I could do. And then the news came in that she was dead. 16 years of age, she'd gotten into the cab of a pickup truck with 5 boys. They had left school early without permission from their parents, and they were making their way to Crestview when a rain shower came up, and they lost control of the pickup truck, went down this long embankment, rolled over. She was thrown out of the vehicle and was killed instantly. Only one survived. That was the driver. They don't know how he survived, but the rest of them were all killed, and I can remember what a horrible thing that was with those students, and I went to her funeral. She sat in this room, chapel services. Heard the gospel given over and over again. It was a closed casket service because her body was so mangled and mutilated by the truck rolling over her. But all I could think of was that she had the chance and people surrounded her that loved her and wanted her to get right with God, and she would have none of it. When I was at the funeral, I walked up to the parents and I gave the dad a hug and I gave the mother a hug. Both of them were crying, and he said, would you please sit beside us? So I sat beside the dad. He had grown up here in Milton. I had known him through the years, and he sat there weeping. He said, Todd, he said, y'all did what you could for her at Santa Rosa Christian. Thank you. You did what you could. And all I could do was just weep with him. We both knew that she had rejected Jesus Christ. She wouldn't obey her parents. She wouldn't obey her teachers. They snuck out from school, got in a pickup truck thinking, we're going to do our own thing. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. By the way, there's a lot of kids in Christian school that think the same way. Think the same way. Don't be naive and think everybody's on their way to heaven. Everybody loves Jesus. No, they don't. There are some that are just pushing the line. They're right on the edge all the time. And one of these days, off they'll go if they don't come to Jesus. That's my prayer every day. Lord, help me to lead us a child, a young person. Help me to lead them to Jesus. Might not hear about it right now, maybe later on. Maybe like a Joni who came to school at Santa Rosa Christian School, lived with Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs, her and her brother. It didn't take to start with. It was later on when she had cancer that she contacted Aunt Carolyn and she said, Aunt Carolyn, I want you to know I'm dying of cancer. But I want you to know I trusted Jesus Christ. I started reading through my old Bible notes and some of the classes that you taught me and some of the things. I started reading through there and God began to convict my heart. I've been going my own way all my life. And at 52 years of age, I will not reach 53. Would you pray for my children? Aunt Carolyn, would you pray for my children? They're far away from God. And the reason they're far away from God is because of me. Inside of Aunt Carolyn's little file that was on her desk, Joni and the names of her two children that Aunt Carolyn prayed for, that they would know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, Jesus is praying. He's praying for His children. He says, I pray not for the world. I think it's important for us to realize that it's our job. It's our duty. We may say, oh, it's such a difficult job to have a Christian school. It's so hard to minister to kids, and so many times we don't have the full support of the parents, and the kids don't seem to be getting it. That's not our job. Our job is to tell them and point them to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that can give the increase. And many times I go home and many of our teachers go home with a sad heart because we're hoping that we can reach children in our classroom. We're hoping that we can see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray for them and we intercede and we advocate for them before the Lord. But ultimately, it's their what? It's their decision. Will they respond to the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit in their heart and life? I wonder tonight, have you responded? A lot of people praying. A lot of people, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. Every lost sinner was on the heart and mind of Jesus as He died on that cross. Do you understand that? His mind, He was giving His life. He gave up the ghost that He might deliver. The Bible says that He went into the gates of hell and led captivity captive. Those that had believed in Old Testament times, He led them out and took them to heaven. And Jesus Christ intercedes as the high priest for you and for me. Are you going to respond? Or are you going to just keep going your way, doing your own thing? I don't need to worry about that. I got plenty of time. You don't know how much time you have. You have no idea. What a remarkable thought that God loves us. He sent His Son who loves us. The Spirit intercedes who loves us. We have all of these things and yet we choose to go our own way. How foolish and how sad. He prays for our security. He says in John chapter 10, My sheep hear My voice and I know them and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. Do you have that kind of security tonight? That you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, and you're also in the hand of the Father, and no man can pluck you out. Do you have that kind of security? If you don't, you better cry out to God tonight. You better not let another second go by until you know that you are secure in the hand of God and in the hand of Jesus Christ. That brings us quickly to the third and final thought. He prays for our oneness in Christ accomplished through His love. I want you to see that. Look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be what? One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That's the prayer that Jesus has, that we will be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. Thou art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you get the connection between oneness and the love of God the Father and God the Son? Look how many times that phrase, that they may be one, that they may be one, that they may be one. One with whom? One with Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, one. Jesus Christ, His children, one. It's the picture of marriage. We have it here. Whenever two people get married, we've had several weddings this year, people get married, they're no longer two, they have become one. And that's the picture that's given to us. Have you entered into that marriage relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you one with Him tonight? Jesus has prayed that we might have that oneness with Jesus Christ. You just don't go out and do things on your own if you're a Christian. You just don't go out and decide to do things on your own. You go to the one that you're one with, and you make sure that that's His will, because you don't do anything because we're one. That's the picture. A husband that goes out without consulting and talking with his wife is a sorry, no good rascal. And the woman that goes out and does her things on her own without consulting with their husband is a sorry, no good rascal. See, I'm an equal opportunity offender. What are you doing? You're sinning against the oneness of your marriage. I want to tell you something, Christian. You go out and do your own thing without checking with Jesus, you don't understand what He's prayed for. You've not understood what that oneness means. It means I don't do anything without checking with Him. That's how important it is. Would you want your child to go do something? Little Preston now can undo doors. He's reached up to the door handle. He can turn it now. All right, now my wife's a step ahead. She's got the secondary door locked. I can't even get in. I can't get out. Right? And so that thing is locked. So if he gets that door open, he can't go any further. Right? And so we're very careful about that. But he has this tendency now. He found our bedroom doors a whole lot easier to open than our front door. So he goes up and does this. He's looking. And he'll get the nod. All right, go on in. All right. If we say no, the hand comes down. Try the other hand, see if that works. All right? Isn't that just like what we are? We do the same thing. God says no, and we reach the other hand, and we're looking up there as if God's going to change His mind. It's that innate nature that we have to challenge and do our own thing. But Christian, you're one in Christ. And it's your job to remember that. Why do marriages fail? Because they never really entered into oneness. That's the problem. They never entered into oneness. They didn't understand what God had joined together. Let not man turn asunder. Don't divide. Oneness. But we let things separate us, and before long we're going two different directions. Same thing will happen to you, Christian. But Jesus is praying for you tonight that you'll have that oneness just like the Father has with the Son and the Son desires to have with His children. The problem is not on His side, the problem is on our side. Are we going to be one with Him? Jesus is praying for you at this very moment. Father in heaven, we thank You for this wonderful passage of Scripture here in John 17. Lord, you're praying for our infirmities, you're praying for our security, but you're also praying that we would recognize the oneness that we are to have with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, I pray that you would deliver us from selfish purposes. Lord, we're running all the time, doing our own thing, and we just need to stop. And we need to consult with the person that we're one with. I pray that you would turn our hearts back to thee tonight. We're so thankful that you pray for us every day. You ever live to make intercession for us. And Lord, we know we could not make it without your intercession, your advocacy in our behalf. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to love you with the same love that you love us with. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.